from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Abe TL with Abe Gordon.
Any more questions?
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back, Game 92.9 The Game. ATL Show continuing on till 4 o'clock. Abe Gordon here on a Sunday afternoon. I'm watching this game here, the Colts and the Broncos. And I was just talking with Dom in break, because neither of us think that the Broncos really wanted Bo Nix. I think that they kind of panicked and kind of had to. And I know we're not going to overreact to how people look in the preseason. He kind of looks nice, though. Like, he kind of looks a little nice. And again, he's not playing first-string pass rushers or first-string DBs, whatever. And I've always said, like, when it comes to Bo Nix, people here in this area, this part of the country, have a much tougher time reconciling with the fact that he might be an NFL level quarterback than in other parts of the country, because for better or for worse, and obviously in this part of the town for worse, people cannot separate Bo Nix from the Auburn era, and he was terrible.
Yeah.
Specifically, yeah, against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrible. And if you had woken up to him as the transfer quarterback of the Oregon Ducks and you went to his bio and it's like, oh, he played 36 games for Auburn. My goodness. Okay. Never heard of this guy. Let's see what he's got coming from the SEC. If that was how you woke up to him and then he did that for 2 years at Oregon, we're probably having a different discussion, but yeah, we cannot separate from, like, oh, look, another pick.
Yeah,
oh, look, he fumbled. But he's doing
people.
Decent, man. He looks pretty good. And again, you know, take it for what it's worth. But yeah, he looks athletic. He looks like, mm-hmm, the run game will translate to the NFL a little bit. I don't know, like, kind of the same questions we're going to have about Stetson Bennett in 2 hours, to be,
yeah,
honest. Like,
yeah,
how much does the athleticism he showed in the sneaky athleticism, kind of, you want to call it that, that he showed in college, is that going to translate to the NFL? So we'll keep an eye on this. We'll be breaking down some more preseason game in a little bit. But I do want to talk about the Olympics, which is now, for the most part, over. The competitive aspects of the Olympics are over. We've still got the closing ceremonies. And, I mean, at this point, we're just watching to see what Tom Cruise does, right? Like, they've been teasing it hard. Tom Cruise is going to end with an insane stunt. I'm like, is it a stunt or is it like a scene from Mission Impossible that they don't tell you it's going to actually be filmed and appear in the movie? Maybe that Turkish sharpshooter is a bad guy?
That actually, I could absolutely see that. Like, this is a
they rope him in, like, we'll do it, but you also have to let us film it and use it in my next movie,
exactly.
Dead Reckoning Part 2.
Exactly. This is absolutely going to be in the next movie.
I mean, Dead Reckoning Part 1 was terrible. So.
Was it really?
I mean, kind of.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't
it was kind of not bad. Great. It was kind of not great. Man. It was honestly so bad that I'm like, I wonder if Part 2 just never comes out.
Really?
They kind of did that with, now I'm blanking on his name. Horizon with, why am I blanking on his name? Field of Dreams guy. I'm just blanking on it.
Horizon.
The actor. Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner.
Yes.
So he did Horizon, and then, like, they were going to have Horizon Part 2 in theaters, like, 2 months afterwards.
Mm.
Horizon Part 2 is not coming to theaters anymore.
Mm.
Like, the original Horizon, which, by the way, stop making four-hour movies, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's on you. But he's at the point where, by the way, he spent, like, all of his own money. He spent, like, $100 million of his own money to get this thing made, and it could not have bombed more.
Yeah,
to the point, like I said, where they're not even going to put Part 2 in theaters.
That's
like,
funny.
All right. Yikes.
That's funny.
Yikes. Bo Nix is still running around at it. I mean, he's getting it done. I'm telling you what. I mean, I know we're not going to – I mean – can't be, right?
What if he comes out and is a guy? What if he wins Rookie of the Year?
But, like, with who? They don't even have receivers.
You got Courtland Sutton still there. I like Courtland Sutton. I think he's solid. For the listeners, Abe is just giving me a look.
Courtland, I mean, for as much as, like, people here are like, I don't know if Drake can be a one, like, Courtland Sutton? Nah, man. Nah, they lost me when they traded Jerry Jeudy. I was out. All right, so let's get into the Olympics here because we do have the closing ceremonies coming, and hopefully with Tom Cruise doing some wild nonsense. Everyone says he's going to die doing a stunt, so could be today, man. You never know. The last we saw of Tom Cruise, he was enjoying the women's gold medal soccer match. That was yesterday. The women beat Brazil 1-0 to win the gold medal. Mallory Swanson with the game-winning goal in the second half. Alyssa Nair, the goalkeeper for Team USA. I mean, just a couple of incredible saves throughout the tournament, but two or three really good ones in the gold medal match. An incredible one near the end of the game against Germany as well. So. She really saved the match in more ways than one there for the U.S. So they get gold there. We talked about it a little bit, men's and women, gold basketball. And obviously against France in both situations, believe it or not. And obviously for the men, you knew what you were coming up against. You got the big guys there with Wemby and Gobert. Koulibaly is involved as well. But quite frankly, just too much firepower for the U.S., which is, considering I don't think the U.S. played their best game. I thought Devin Booker played a smart game and shot relatively well. Obviously, LeBron and Curry did their thing. Not a great game for Kevin Durant. It really wasn't. And missed a couple of open shots and whatever. A couple of odd turnovers from Kevin Durant, too. I'll tell you who, I know it was only a few minutes, who like, was like, man, look at this guy go. It was Anthony Edwards, though. Defensively, they couldn't dribble the ball up the floor. With Ant-Man, like, you guys mind if I play D three-quarters court? No? Okay. And then they, like, couldn't get the ball up the floor.
Man, I love that kid.
He wants it. Yes. It's probably, as much as we talk about, like, Tyrese Halliburton and Jason Tatum not really getting much play time. Did Derek White check in yesterday? He didn't check in, did he? Doesn't need to be. Anthony Edwards did not play a ton, and it just felt like he could have been more impactful. But I think the way some of the things were going on offense, I understand it. You don't want to mess with the rhythm too much. Devin Booker seemed to be a good fit with Curry, Durant, and LeBron, and then whoever it was down low, whether it was AD or Bam or Embiid. But Anthony Edwards, when he came in, you could tell he was in. He was looking to score, had a couple threes yesterday. Again, some very good defensive plays as well. So, but that was a crazy game. Steph Curry, like, he was not going to let Team USA lose in this one. And then the women's game today was kind of probably more wild because they were down 10 at one point. And then the end of the game was a weird situation where France misses what looked to be an open three. USA rebounds, gets fouled, goes to the free throw line, makes the free throw, and goes up three after the free throw. And France makes their way down the court in a couple of seconds, and they throw up an off-balance, banked-in shot that goes in. And it wasn't that close. Like, the foot was very clearly not behind the three-point line, but it was still like one of those, like, I can't believe she made that shot. That could have sent this game to overtime if it was worked a little bit differently. But it was clearly a two. We didn't have to go through it and debate whether it was foot on the line and all that stuff and ask for we need better technology. No, it was a two. Like, it was a two. But outstanding game from France there. The men and the women win the 4x400 relays. And, look, the women smoked the field. Just absolutely smoked everyone. It kind of started with the second leg, which was, I mean, what more do we need to say about Sydney McLaughlin-Lavroni? If she did not train hurdles, she would be the best 400 runner in the world. But she does hurdles, and she's the best 400 hurdler in the world. But she then hands off to Gabby Thomas, who won gold in the 200. And I was concerned about that decision, especially concerned after I saw Gabby take off the first 200. But she held strong. I didn't know if she was going to fade and the field was going to come back to her. They did not. Shamia Little had a great opening leg. And then Alexis, I want to say Brown, but that might not be right. With the final anchor leg, and no one was catching her. I know Femke Bol made a run to get the Netherlands silver, but it was quite a distant silver. And then the men. Then come down to the men. And it obviously, in the 4x400 prelims, you had Quincy Wilson just run a, for lack of a better, it was a terrible leg. It was 3 seconds off the form he had been showing in previous meets. He'd been running mid-44s. He ran a 47. U.S. had to come from way behind and finish third in their heat. But that was not the case in the gold medal race, the final. You get a slim lead, like very slim lead, to Rye Benjamin. We just talked about Sydney McLaughlin-Lavroni, the best hurdler in the world. 400 meters. Rye Benjamin also won gold in the 400 hurdles. He beat his longtime rival, Carson Werholm. And it was going to be 400 hurdler Rye Benjamin against the 200-meter champ, Letsile Tobogo, for Botswana. And he held him off. For those of you who did not watch the race, like, you kept seeing Tobogo try and find the other gear, and he found it, but Rye Benjamin had the same gear to match it. And I guess Tobogo got a little bit closer from where Rye had started, had gone out, but was unable to pass, and Rye wasn't going to let him pass him. The Benjamin thing's crazy because he doesn't look like he's running. He looks for 400 meters like it's a straight-up jog, and I don't know how he does it, but it looks so calm and so simple, but a great anchor leg from Rye Benjamin. This morning, Safwan Hassan won the women's marathon with a move made in the last half mile or so, maybe a little more than half mile. She already had bronze in the 5,000 and the 10,000 on track. She ran the 10,000-meter final 2 days ago and then has to turn around and run the marathon today. And, like, obviously she runs the 5,000. Like, she's got that speed. If it was going to be a race late, you would have to favor her. Maybe the equalizer would have been the amount on her legs, but she gets it done there, so congratulations to her. Jordan Chiles, in this one, has been kind of making the news and garnering some reaction today. Jordan Chiles is going to be asked to return her bronze medal After the FIG, which is kind of like the gymnastics leadership group, whatever, they overturned their own ruling. The USA coaches appealed a scoring decision during and right after her routine, and the decision was approved. And they said there was a trick that she wasn't being given credit for. It increased her score. It moved her from fifth to third, so she was given a bronze medal. FIG now has come out and said the appeal, this is 5 days later, mind you, they said the appeal, by the way, they're not overturning the appeal. They said the appeal was good. They said it came 4 seconds late. They said the appeal came 4 seconds late. So they now have put Childs back into fifth place with the original score without the appeal and have asked her 5 days later to return the gold medal. And it's expected that the USA Gymnastics crew is going to appeal that decision now. So we'll deal with that. But a very, very odd thing there. All right. I got a lot. I got a couple other thoughts here in regards to the Olympics. We'll do that when we get outside the perimeter because we have to talk about the disaster that was breaking. We have to talk about breaking. It was a disaster. We'll deal with that when we go outside the perimeter. Before then, a lot of other preseason games. And I know we're not going to overreact, underreact to what we saw from Atlanta. I'm certainly not going to overreact, underreact to what I saw from other teams. But I do want to have a short discussion and just kind of a couple of thoughts on what we've seen thus far in the preseason, including Bo Nix looking like a real deal. We'll get into that on the other side. Abe Gordon here live. It's the Abe TL Show. We'll also get Dom Trotsky's thoughts on Justin Fields. Him and I may differ on this one, but we'll work our way through it on the other side on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's going on? Keeping you up to date all weekend long. It's the ATL with Abe Gordon.
Let's do this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in, 92.9 The Game. The ATL Show. rocking with you on a Sunday afternoon. A Sunday afternoon that's featuring some football. It is 10-10 right now between the Broncos and the Colts. Bo Nix is 5-9 for 44 yards and a touchdown. He's probably added, I would say safely, 25 yards rushing, maybe more than that. He's looked good. I can't believe I'm saying that. He's looked good. And that might be kind of the first opportunity, by the way, for Broncos fans to be like, oh, like, and not that Bo Nix is like, you know, but like, it's not Jarrett Stidham that you might have to start the season with. So we got that for you. All right, let's go through some of these other preseason games. There is one more later tonight. We talked about it. It's going to be on the air here on 92.9 The Game. Cowboys and Rams, a little Stetson Bennett action. Hopefully we get to see some extended Stetson today in the preseason there. We talked about it a couple of days ago because they were Thursday night. Panthers-Patriots, Drake May had his start, 2 for 3. That was done for him. Jacoby Brissett, 0 for 3. It feels like everything reported out of camp there in New England is that Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starter. I don't think going 2 for 3 is going to change that yet, but there was a little, you know, some people are wondering if Drake May's got a little something for him, but I don't think so. Lions and Giants, and there was no Daniel Jones in this one. They did announce earlier today that he will play in the preseason game against the Texans. That's probably a good thing because Drew Lock ain't stealing his job. I think if we learned anything in that game is that Drew Lock ain't stealing that job. All right, let's get into it here with Texans and Steelers, and I want to bring Dom Cherosky back into the program. If you've been listening to us for a little while, I think Dom has made it abundantly clear he is a Steelers fan. Real quick, C.J. Stroud went 2 for 4 with a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They got him out of the game pretty quickly, so good stuff from him.
Yeah,
Justin Fields went 5 of 6, but he was also sacked twice and fumbled twice. And for me, when I was thinking about this game, I put myself in the shoes of Russell Wilson. And not that Russell Wilson's necessarily rooting against his teammate, but Russell Wilson absolutely rooting against his teammate.
Right.
And for me, if I were Russell Wilson and I saw the performance of Justin Fields in this game, my thought would have been, it's still my job to lose. Because I thought there was an opportunity for Fields. First off, I don't care what the depth chart says. I thought Fields has this job. And this didn't exactly cinch it up for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Justin looked solid. Like I said, you had the 2 sacks and the 2 fumbles. You know, quarterback center exchange. Who knows whose fault it is sometimes there. But I think, like you said, Russell Wilson should feel like Justin Fields didn't just take the job from me. I think that's absolutely fair. I think, and if you're Russell Wilson, you still feel good.
The decision got tougher, easier. I think for Fields, he was hoping to make this an easy decision, and he didn't do that.
Well, and also Fields should have been 6 of 6 if Mike Tomlin would have challenged a call, but neither here nor there. But
it's
preseason, man. Yeah, it's preseason.
Let something go.
Yeah, but
although Raheem Morris did make a challenge and win, so
see,
that's already better than Arthur Smith.
Would be nice. Would be nice. But like I said, I think. Do you think
Arthur Smith told him not to challenge it?
No, that's Tomlin. Tomlin doesn't know when to use his challenges ever. But I liked what I saw. Like I said, could have been better.
The fumbles is a problem.
Yes, the fumbles
because
are a
one of them was on the snap. I didn't actually see the second fumble. I know the first fumble was on the snap.
Mm-hmm.
He recovered it. The second fumble he lost.
Yes,
and it was funny because I was sitting with Joe Patrick as we were at the sports bar. We had 2 games on. We had the Falcons game on, and the Steelers one was on. And I'm like, man, like, how much you want to bet Russell Wilson's hoping he fumbles? And, like, the very next play, he dropped the ball and kicked it all around.
There you go.
And it's like, man, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
That was a problem. Fumbles are a problem.
Yeah,
and
clean it up.
It wasn't just the icy weather there in Chicago, I guess, because still some issues there. Eagles and Ravens, neither QB1 played Lamar or Jalen Hurts. Kendall Milton, a little throwback for the Georgia Bulldog fans. Kendall Milton led the way for the Eagles with 39 rushing yards. Commanders and Jets, Jaden Daniels, by all reports, a very optimistic performance. 2 for 3 throwing, but he had a 3-yard rushing touchdown. And again, you're only throwing the ball and dropping back a couple of times, and so you're not going to glean too much out of it. But the moment didn't feel too much for him, and so that's pretty much all you can kind of glean. And I would say similar for Caleb Williams. 95 passing yards. He had a 13-yard run as well. Josh Allen also played in this one. It was 2 for 3. So yeah. A lot of people saying some good stuff about Caleb Williams as well. So,
I think with Jaden and Caleb, it was interesting because both of them had one specific throw where it was like, okay, that's what they were drafted for. Like Caleb Williams had his spinning out kind of cross his body throw, and then Jaden Daniels threw a dime down the field. It was just kind of funny seeing the dynamic there.
Jaden Daniels is super interesting to me because – I'll be quite honest, it's so tough to gauge certain quarterbacks at college based on the level of receiver you have in college. And it was, we always joked about how Ohio State just produces bum after bum after bum, right? And part of that is because, like, they're throwing, like, if you're the quarterback at Ohio State in recent years, you're throwing to Chris Olave and Emeka Ogbuka and Marvin Harrison and Stover at tight end. Like, yeah, these throws should be easy. So can you fit it now? And I'm bringing them up to bring up the same thing with LSU. Like, there are probably people who slept on Joe Burrow because they're like, look at this receiving core. Like, of course he's going to throw for a good job. Same thing with Jaden Daniels. Like, when you have the receivers they had in, what was it, Thomas and Robinson –
Malik Nabers is there.
And Malik Nabers, yeah. It's you're going to look pretty good. And so he did, though. He did look good throwing the ball. Raiders and Vikings, a couple of quarterback competitions there. I would say the Vikings is less of a real competition. It feels like they're going to go with Sam Darnold. Either way, Darnold was 4 of 8 for 59 yards. J.J. McCarthy threw for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns. So do what you will with that. And then the other side, the Raiders quarterback thing. I mean, because of what they paid, I can't imagine they don't give the starting job to Gardner Minshew. He was 6-12, 117 yards and a touchdown. Aiden O'Connell, who just can't be a starting quarterback, 7-9 for 76 yards. Jordan Love started. He was 2 for 2 with a touchdown for the Packers. Jameis, only in there a little bit, 4 of 5 for 30 yards. Everyone just wants more Jameis, man. Like,
I can't wait for him to retire and go the sports media route, and we can just hear him on a mic.
It's almost unfortunate he's not a better quarterback because, like, the yes. entertainment factor yes. alone, we all want him to play, but, like, we also want him to play for the boneheadedness and for, I mean, he threw 30 interceptions.
30 for 30,
man. Like,
baby.
He led the league in passing and threw 30 interceptions. What if he had only 10 intercepts? Like, how many of those would have been just, like, extra 80 yards per game?
Oof.
I mean, he could have really – he could have threatened 5. Will Trask for the Bucs, 12 of 20 at 144 and an interception. Joe Burrow got out there in the preseason, 5 of 7 with a touchdown. And Bucs running back rookie Bucky Irving is showing some things as well. Again, a lot of QB1s really did play. We talked about Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love. Obviously, no Tua, no Kirk Cousins, but – you are seeing a number of QB1s that got out there. Patrick Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence both played. We're going to talk about them in just a moment. Will Levis was out there. So a lot of QB1s did play. A little bit different coming off of the injury that Kirk Cousins is coming off of, so understandable. But Burrow's coming off injury stuff too. So there you go. Speaking of Will Levis, 4 of 5. Malik Willis, 5 of 7. For the Titans, and then backup 49ers backup Josh Dobbs, 146 and a touchdown there. So Chiefs, Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence threw a touchdown. Mahomes was 3 for 4. And Carson Wentz in there in a Kansas City lineup. He was a perfect 4 of 4. I told you earlier there's a team that I've been mentioning a couple times that make the most sense to me in regards to Taylor Heinicke. And we're going to talk about that team now, and it is the Chargers. They faced off with the Seahawks. And Chargers QB2 backup quarterback Easton Stick was 5 of 13 with an interception, took 2 sacks. QB1 is out injured right now, and I don't know if Justin Herbert's going to be back to start the regular season or not. What I can tell you is there's no way – I'm going into week 1 with Easton Stick as my quarterback. And the faster they make a move for any other backup, and be clear, like, you're going in there as a backup role. And maybe that's not good enough for Taylor Heinicke, but maybe it is. But if I'm the Chargers, I'm looking around and I'm trying to view some of these battles. And look, there's a couple of other battles. You know, like, is Bailey Zappe better than Taylor Heinicke? Right? Like, both QB3s that probably could be had for a little bit of a price. I will say that, like, it feels like the Falcons are more likely to move Heinicke just because I feel like they're going to, quote, do right by him. I think Nathan Rourke is absolutely fine as QB3, and so maybe they're in a better position. But that's the move I would make if I were the Chargers. Like, if I were Taylor Heinicke, I'd look to go to the Chargers. And if you get an opportunity to start week one, great. And if Justin Herbert's back healthy, then so be it. And then the final completed game, and boy, was it a beautiful one, man. Saints and Cardinals featuring, you guessed it, Desmond DoorDash Ridder, baby.
The Riddler.
That's right. 4 of 9 for 43 yards and 2 sacks. He did, however, have a 22-yard run. And so there you go. Desmond Ridder, man. Love it. I mean,
speaking of the Saints,
I don't want Kyler to go down because I like Kyler, but yeah. I can't tell you how much I would love Kyler to have to miss a couple games and just to watch Desmond Ridder.
Like, without, play again.
But you got to remember, all of me watching Desmond Ridder last year was so enormously consumed with frustration
and disappointment.
Like,
yes,
the ability to probably watch that disaster without feeling the emotions.
Well, yeah, without being invested in it, probably.
Oh, I want to see it so bad. I want to see it so bad. So there you go. Again, Stetson Bennett hoping Cowboys and Rams at 4 o'clock. He might have a little bit something to say there. But when we get back, we're going to get into the Falcons once more, kind of the takeaways and some of the questions now as we move forward. We're going to do that with Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game Falcons beat reporter on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To more of the Abe TL Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here in the Kia Studios. Heading towards home on the second hour of the show, but of course we do have a third taking you all the way till 4 as we get you set up for some NFL football. Cowboys and Rams will come on after me right here on 92.9 The Game. But want to go back to Friday night and what we saw in a football game played in Miami, the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins. And want to bring in 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons beat reporter and insider Joe Patrick. He's going to join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Watch part of this game with him and then watch part of the game without him because he had more pressing duties. So I guess we'll discuss that. Joe, did you win your game of EA Sports College Football 25?
No, Abe, I didn't. I was 13-0.
You left my birthday party to get beat down?
Pretty much. That's pretty much exactly what happened. Yeah. I had to second screen the Falcons, you know, and I went back and did rewatch it the next morning. But yeah, it was like that, you know, and I know that you were feeling the same way because I got a text from you during the second half of that game, exasperated over how long it was taking and just how brutal it was.
I thought it was taking long midway through late stages of the first quarter. So you can forget about it. I rewatched it this morning. And even upon second viewing, I'm like, man, it's still the first quarter. My goodness. All right, so let's.
I've been saying it's like that Mitch Hedberg joke about pancakes. You know, they're all exciting at first, but then by the end, you're just sick of them. And that's how preseason football is.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into it. And we talked about this, right? Like, no one is making a career defining statement on 5 drives of Michael Penix in his first ever preseason game. But what were your general takeaways? The thing for me, and it's less about stats, less about some of the mistakes he made, he just looks the part. And there, sometimes you see rookie quarterbacks and you get worried because they just don't look right. That wasn't the case for him. I thought I'm pretty comfortable now having seen him for a couple of drives.
he looks calm, right? Like, that's, I think that's the thing. Like, he looks just like calm and poised in the pocket. It doesn't look, I don't even want to say, like, you know, not about the moment, like, being too big for him, but just generally speaking, you tend to see rookies in these situations kind of either, like, running around a lot, making plays, and sometimes it can result in good things, this kind of, like, you know, energy, whatever it is, when you kind of are under these pressure situations, like when you're making your first, you know, appearance in the jersey. But, you know, Penix just looked, like, calm and confident, and I've been saying it's, like, you know, I'm kind of, I feel like some people are more excited about it than I was, but, you know, maybe it's just because I've been watching him. You know, I've had the privilege of watching him throughout this training camp, but, you know, I think that he's just kind of the guy that we've seen, which is a pretty impressive quarterback at this stage. And I also got to say, I think that there's a sense for Falcons fans in this situation that eases it with Kirk Cousins here. Like, I think you might look at it a lot differently or have more kind of urgent opinions about the situation with Penix if you were expecting him to kind of go in as your starter going into the season. So, and it's nice. I think it's kind of a good environment for all parties, be it fans and the player himself.
You know, I mentioned this as well. The one thing that was also encouraging about Penix is that the mistakes he made, especially with his arm, was all the same. They were all overthrows. And obviously being with Ritter, I mean, it could be to the wrong shoulder. It could be underthrown, overthrown. It could be the wrong, whatever. It felt like maybe he was a little bit overcooked, a little bit amped up, and that's understandable. But the fact that you can dial that in and it was one problem to work on and not multiple problems to work on is also encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's already doing a lot of things that you, like, even more veteran quarterbacks would do. I've watched a couple of the breakdowns of him by, you know, former quarterbacks, whether that be Chase Daniel at The Athletic, J.T. O'Sullivan had a bit that came out over his QB school page. And, you know, like, he's routinely like, looking down safeties before going, you know, to the boundary, like, holding them in place. So it's, like, doing some of these things that are coming natural to him that he's doing every single time. And he just seems like he's in a really good spot for his development. And he is a little unorthodox. Like, when you watch him throw, and maybe it's just the lefty part of it, but I think that there's also just some, you know, I think there are some natural advantages he's had where he doesn't have to plant like the way that a lot of quarterbacks do. And I think that, you know, because of the injuries he's had, maybe he is more hesitant to do something like that routinely. And I think it's actually a benefit. Like, when you saw him throw several of those throws in the game, you would kind of see him kind of on the back foot, but he's got hands that are so big and able to grip the football so well that he's still able to get it out really quick and with a lot of velocity. And as soon as he's going to be able to kind of, you know, get that accuracy, just hone that in, get it under control, which he should have a lot of reps doing over, you know, the next couple of years, you know, he'll emerge and I think be a really good quarterback, I would have to think, at this point in time.
It is Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter and insider on the WadeFord.com hotline. And you talked about throwing off the back foot. The defensive front for the Falcons forced the Dolphins quarterbacks to do that a couple of times. And, of course, one of them with pressure coming from Zach Harrison did not result in a sack. But we've talked about it before. If you're not going to get a sack, you know, affect the quarterback, it turned into an interception that set the Falcons up for a scoring drive. Your thoughts on the overall pressure that the front created on Friday night?
Yeah, I think it was kind of along the model of how Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris are designing this thing, which is that it's not necessarily coming from like the traditional edge spots, you know, at least in this game. But I think just generally speaking, with that, they kind of faded that position in the draft and the offseason, but then they kind of went doubled down more so on the interior with guys like Brandon Dorlos, Ruka Roro in the draft, and kind of trying to get some youth behind the quality starters that you already have in Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. And I think that they want to just kind of like create havoc from all angles and kind of be really unpredictable with this defense. And I thought that you saw a bit of that and what they can do just conceptually in that game against the Dolphins. I thought Zach Harrison in particular, Abe, looked really, really good. I mean, he's put on about 20, 25 pounds since the start of last season. And, you know, he just looks a lot better equipped, honestly, to play at the NFL level. Yeah, I was talking to him a little bit after the practice that they had at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and he just said he feels a lot more powerful with that weight added on and really comfortable on that huge frame that he's got. And we know that Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake love that length along that defensive front. That's who they drafted. You know, that's what they were kind of keying on in the draft. And he fits into that perfectly with some of the longest arms when he came out of the draft, second only to Tyree Wilson, I believe, who went in the top five picks. So I think there's a lot of promise potentially on the horizon for him. But I think in particular, this defense can kind of be one that's really chaotic and causes a lot of confusion, despite the fact that they don't quite have the talent that some other teams have there.
The one thing you always hope you don't have to deal with in preseason, Joe, is the injury bug. And obviously it caught Rondale Moore before we even got to the game. But in game, two guys had to be helped off the field. You're dealing with DeMarco Helms and then also rookie pass rusher Braylon Trice. I guess first off, have they provided any sort of update on those two yet? And then in terms of the combination of Rondale Moore, the team added Jakeem Grant. Do you think they're going to need to add a safety now to replace DeMarco Helms if he is out for the year?
Yeah, you know, that one looks pretty bad. I initially thought, as you know this, Abe, I initially thought it looked like an Achilles. They were working on that lower left leg, but I went back and rewatched it because they did not show a replay on the broadcast, and you could see somebody get whipped into him as he was in pursuit into his leg. And to me, it looked like some blunt force trauma, like a fracture, unfortunately. And when the air cast comes out and the way that he was reacting to some of the treatment on the field, having rewatched it, that's definitely what I'm expecting. And it seems like it's one that could be bad enough where it could require, you know, a significant surgery that does end the season. So, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, there are safeties out there on the market. This Justin Simmons, one of the better, well, the best one on the market, at least as far as like the things that he's done in his career, his prestige would go. And the Falcons have an opportunity, like they could restructure some deals, but I don't know if they're going to do that just yet. I think this team wants to kind of hold their chips as close as possible or as much as possible. And then I wouldn't bet against them making a move, a significant move during the season if there is an opportunity to bring in an edge rusher or if they need a safety with an injury or something. That could be the case. But I think that they're going to go into this with Richie Grant back there as the safety. I wouldn't be surprised if they signed somebody in, you know, just like at the small signing to take a spot. But I have to think that he's going to be the guy that starts. And then, yeah, Jakeem Grant is, you know, a nice little kind of replacement for Rondale Moore. We'll see if he makes the roster. I think there is a lot of kind of special teams considerations that are taking place. Obviously, that's kind of his specialty in his career. So, yeah, these injuries really have the chess pieces moving around a lot. And Abe, I got to say, you know, it's kind of crazy just how many injuries we saw in general in that game. You know, as soon as you put the pads on, start playing real football, you know, it's like these things start happening. And like in the case of Braylon Trice, like that wasn't even a contact injury. But for whatever reason, you hate to see these injuries happen in preseason.
Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter and insider, joining us here, breaking down what we saw Friday night. So, Joe, I want one guy from you that flashed and one guy you were surprised that maybe didn't flash in Friday's preseason game.
I think the guy that flashed for me was Kevin King. Came away with an interception in the secondary. He's one of these guys who has NFL experience. He was a former second-round pick that the Falcons were able to acquire because he hasn't played football in the last couple of years. So I think there was a lot of question marks as to, you know, what state was he going to be in? What condition was he going to be in? How effective would he be? But I think that he's a versatile piece who could definitely make a big contribution to the secondary where there are opportunities for guys out there. So I think he probably did himself the biggest service in that game. And then I got to say on the other side of that coin, Abe, and here's a deep cut. I don't think anybody's going to give you this take here, but I was actually I don't even know if underwhelmed. I think it was more than underwhelmed by the play of Storm Norton, who played right tackle. That right side of the Falcons' offensive line was getting absolutely zero push. Andrew Stuber with the right guard there alongside next to him. And they were just allowing penetration constantly. The pass protection-wise, they were solid, and that's where Storm Norton kind of specialized last year when he had to come into that role. But certainly a far different type of player than Caleb McGarry. Maybe it's a good thing that your swing tackle is kind of a specialized pass protector as opposed to just kind of being like a strong, you know, ox type of right tackle. But, he didn't play that well, in my opinion.
Joe, final question. We got three practices this week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, day off Friday, and then the second preseason game on Saturday afternoon. What do you think is the focus for this week for the team? What do you think they need to work on to improve from one preseason game to the next?
You know, it's hard to say specifically because, you know, we didn't see the first team play in this game. And, you know, as to like what they're going to try to improve, it probably revolves around those guys. But I would say in general, it's a lot of the procedure stuff. It's a lot of the operation stuff. We heard Arthur Smith talk about that. We would kind of harp on about that, but it really is important. And especially in this Zach Robinson system, there's so many motions, so many different shifts and different things that ways that they want to attack defenses before the ball is even snapped. And you just have to be really on top of it. And especially when you're kind of moving in pieces, you're trying to basically bring a lot of different pieces of an offense together in one off season that starts at the quarterback position and also goes to guys like Darnell Mooney and Ray McCloud and rookie receivers like Casey Washington. You got to get all those guys on the same page. So I think that just continuing to refine the operation is going to be of paramount importance this week and really up until week one.
Joe, as always, appreciate the time, and we will see you up in Flowery Branch tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, Abe.
You got it. Joe Patrick there, outstanding Falcons reporter and insider, subpar EA Sports College Football 2025 performer, apparently. Couldn't get it done. End of the season, 13-0, couldn't get it done. It's a shame. It's a shame. All right, when we come back, let's go outside the perimeter. A couple stories in the NFL. I got some more Olympic discussions to have as well. So we'll work our way through this. Want to remind you, at 3:20, Russell Clay, Fantasy Guru's NFL columnist and insider, is going to join me. Look, so many of us are getting ready for fantasy drafts all around the city, all around the country, if you're listening on the Odyssey app. I'm gonna help you out, man. Let's get ready. Well, let's figure out a real plan, and let's not walk into these fantasy drafts blind with maybe one mock draft under our belt. Let's get a real attack, plan of attack. This ain't the preseason. You gotta come out firing on fantasy drafts. So we're gonna have Russell Clay help us do that here on the other side. 2 hours down, 1 hour still to come. It is the Abe TL Show, live in the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here until 4 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.